ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 48, 49, then 50. 48 doesn't just have a very little purport, so I thought of going to, and 49 and 50 are together, so verse 50 has been written on board. And then the last verse of this chapter is the next one, text 51. So what I'll do is I'll just read them through and complete this chapter today. So I will read through 48, 49, and then we'll recite 50 together. Shaunaka Ubacha Jadaho no Bhavan Suta Kshatya Bhagavatamaha Chachara Tirthani Bhubastya Bhubastakta Bandhun Shudustajan. It will be read like Chachara Tirthani Bhubastakta Bandhun Shudustajan. Shaunaka Rishi, after hearing all about the creation, inquired from Suta Goswami about Vidura. For Suta Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura left home, leaving aside all his relatives who are very difficult to leave. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The rishis headed by Shaunaka were more anxious to know about Vidura, who met Maitreya Rishi while traveling to the pilgrimage sites of the world. Text 49. Kshattu kausharavestasya sangbado adhatma sangshritaha jaddhasa bhagavangstasmai prishtastattam ubachaha. Then let's read the verse on the board, text 50. Bruhi,
bruhi
nas,
nas
tad,
tad
idam,
idam
somya,
somya
vidurasya,
vidurasya
vicheshtitam,
vicheshtitam
bandhu
tyaga
nimittam,
nimittam
cha
jathaibagatavan
jathaibagatavan
punaha.
Bruhi nastad idam saumya vidurasya vicheshtitam bandhutyaga nimittam cha jathai bhagatavan
punaha
jathai bhagatavan puman jathai bhagavatan punaha bruhi nastad idam saumya vidurasya vicheshtitam bandhutyaga nimittam cha jathai bhagatavan punaha bruhi nastad idam saumya vidurasya vicheshtitam bandhutyaga nimittam cha jathai bhagatavan punaha
Bruhi nastad idam saumya
vidurasya Shtitam
Bandhu Tyaga
Nimitam
Cha Bandhu Tyaga Nimitam
Cha
Tathaiva
Gatavan
Punah
Tathaiva
Gatavan
Punah
Ruhi
Nasta
Vidam
Saumyam
Ruhi
Nasta
Vidam
Saumyam
Vyurasya
Vyurasya
Bandhu
Tyaga
Nimitam
Cha
Mataji's.
Unto us.
Tat.
Those matters.
Idam.
Here.
Saumya.
O gentle one.
Vidurasya.
Of Vidura.
Vicheshtitam.
Activities.
Bandhutyaga.
Renouncing the friends.
Nimittam.
The cause of.
Cha,
also,
yatha,
as,
eva,
also,
agatuban,
came back,
punaha,
again to home.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shaunaka Rishi said, "Let us know, please, what topic were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Also, please let us know the reason for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members and why he again came home. Please also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the place of pilgrimage." So please repeat after me. Shaunaka Rishi said,
"Let us know,
please,
what topics were discussed
between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects,
and what was inquired by Vidura
and replied by Maitreya.
Also, please let us know
the reasons
for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members
and why he again came home.
Please also let us know
the activities of Vidura
while he was in the places of pilgrimage."
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Śrīśuta Gosvāmī was narrating the topics of the creation and destruction of the material world. But it appears that the rishis headed by Shaunaka were more inclined to hear of transcendental subjects which are on a higher level than the physical. There are two classes of men, namely those too addicted to the gross body and the material world, and others on the higher level who are interested more in transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam gives facility to everyone, both to the materialist and to the transcendentalist. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of Lord's glorious activities, both in material world and in the transcendental world, men can derive equal benefit. The materialists are more interested in the physical laws and how they are acting, and they see wonders in those physical glamours. Sometimes due to physical glamours, they forget the glories of the Lord. They should know definitely that physical activities and their wonders are all initiated by the Lord. The rose in the garden gradually takes its shape and color to become beautiful and sweet, not by a blind physical law, although it appears like that. Behind that physical law is the direction of the complete consciousness of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, things cannot take shape so systematically. The artist draws a picture of a rose very nicely with all attention and artistic sense, and yet it does not become as perfect as the real rose. If that is the real fact, how can we say that the real rose has taken its shape without intelligence behind the beauty? This sort of conclusion is due to a poor fund of knowledge. One must know from the above description of creation and annihilation that the Supreme Consciousness, being omnipresent, can take care of everything with perfect attention. That is the fact of the omnipresence of the Supreme Lord. Persons still more foolish than the gross materialists, however, claim to be transcendentalists and claim to have such supreme all-pervading consciousness, but offer no proof. Such foolish persons cannot know what is going on behind the next wall, yet they are falsely proud of possessing the cosmic all-pervading consciousness of the Supreme Person. For them also, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is a great help. It will open their eyes to see that simply by claiming supreme consciousness, one does not become supremely conscious. One has to prove in the physical world that he has such supreme consciousness. The rishis of Naimisharanya, however, were above the gross materialists and the false transcendentalists. And thus, they were always anxious to know the real truth in transcendental matters as described by authorities. Srila Suta Goswami is... Suta Goswami appeared to Naimisharanya, where the sages were performing a 1,000-year-long sacrifice to benefit the living entities of the age of Kali. Suta Goswami was there, and Shaunaka Rishi was asking him various questions pertaining to that. Shaunaka Rishi, headed by Shaunaka Rishi representing all the sages assembled there. There were hundreds of sages, maybe even thousands of sages. They assembled. Why? Because they saw that the condition of the age of Kali was very, very degrading. Kali Yuga didn't actually begin, or just about began. Kali Yuga just began. The condition was not so bad. But great personalities could foresee that, what would happen. Because these exalted saintly personalities don't just deal with the present. They deal with past and future. They can see the past and future. They can see the past and future due to their own spiritual advancement, or they can see the past and future through Jyotish, astrology. This Jyotish is considered to be one of the limbs of the body of the Vedas. Vedas have six limbs. Shar-anga. The six limbs, and one of the limbs of the Vedas is Jyotish. And which limb it is of the Vedas? Jyotish, astrology. Astrology is the eyes of the Vedas. Through astrology one can see into the past, present and future. So the sages were expert also in this branch of astrology, and therefore they could see what would happen to the age of Kali. And in many Puranas there have been very elaborate descriptions of the age of Kali. And it is so to the point, so much to the point. Skanda Purana explains elaborately what will happen. I'm sorry, Brahma Vaivarta Purana explains elaborately. Then it has also been described specially in Bhavishya Purana. It has been also described. Then there is also Kalki Purana. The age of Kali, Kalki will come, and the condition has been described, how degraded this world will become, and then Kalki Avatar will come and annihilate everyone. He'll annihilate all the miscreants. And you know how long it'll take him to do that? It'll take him only 18 days to wipe out all the miscreants. Is it difficult for the Lord to do it in 18 days? No, He can do it in 18 seconds actually if He wants to. So, these descriptions of the age of Kali was there, is there. And besides that, the astrologers, those who are expert in these branches, they can calculate and see the condition, what would be the condition of this age with time to come. Now, the saintly personalities are benefactors of all. They are paru-upakaris. They benefit others. They are always concerned about the welfare of others. They don't care about themselves, but they are concerned about the welfare of other living entities. Because they know that to get a human birth is an opportunity to get free, to become free from the material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. Therefore, they are always concerned about creating that good fortune for others. So the sages became very concerned that what will happen to the people of this age. People of this age will become so degraded that they will become extremely sinful. And when people become sinful, what is the reaction? The nature also withdraws all the facilities. People will become sinful, and as a result of that, Mother Nature will withdraw all her gifts. There won't be any food. There won't be any water. There won't be any pure air, oxygen. That's the condition that this world is heading for. We are seeing already there is so much concern. The rivers are drying up. The rivers are drying up here in India. When the rivers dry up, then what will happen? There won't be any water. People are becoming so concerned about that. What will happen? And also, there will be acute shortage of food because in the age of Kali, it has been described as the Kali progresses. What will happen?
the Oshadhis, the grain-bearing plants, will become like grass. Oshadhi means the plants that grow grains like wheat, rice, paddy, rice, maize, and so forth. They'll become, how big are they? Generally they're this big and even bigger, like maize goes about 6-7 feet high. But generally wheat and rice plants are about 2 feet, 2.5 feet high. Now when they become small as grass, then what will happen? That means there won't be any grain. And cow will stop giving milk. Cows will stop giving milk. The fruits will only have the seed and the skin. No pulp inside. We notice that some fruits are already like that. Only some skin around the seed. So that means there won't be any fruits. So what will people eat? We can well imagine. It's already happening. People are becoming meat eaters. They are eating meat. So Mother Nature is saying, okay, fine, eat meat. There's no need for grains, no need for milk, no need for fruit. They don't consider that if there is no grain, even the animals will not survive. So what are they going to eat? So in this way, the condition of this Kali Yuga will become very, very difficult. People will suffer terribly. And they'll become so greedy that they'll start to loot each other. They'll steal each other's property. And the politicians, what will they do? They will start to extract taxes in such a severe way, without any discrimination. They will simply try to burden people with taxes. Because we are seeing that they come to power for 3 or 4 years or 5 years, and they say, let's make as much money as possible. How do they make the money? They make money by imposing taxes. And everybody knows that every year the taxes go up. Taxes never come down. How many of you are taxpayers here? So is the taxes going up or going down? Going up. Why? Because these politicians have a responsibility to fill their pockets. So they will be, these politicians have been described as, bandits, dacoits. Dacoits, dasyu praishu rajanneshu. The dacoits will become the leaders of the people. When a dacoit becomes a leader, then what happens? Either you become a dacoit with them, or they are just going to rob you. And they'll be robbing people in such a way that people will run away from Janapad. Janapad means the places of human habitation. The cities, villages, they'll run away from the cities and villages and towns, and they'll go into the depth of the forest just to run away from this bandits, dasyus. Is there any politician here? Please don't mind. It's not my words. These are the words of the scriptures. These are the words of Bhagavatam. These are the words of Brahma Vaivarta Puran. These are the words of Kalisantaran Upanishad. There's some very interesting information also. The places of pilgrimage will become the places infested with thieves and rogues.
and prostitutes. We are seeing that. The places of pilgrimage, the holy places, are becoming the most degraded places. So the point is, the world will turn upside down. Everything will turn upside down. So much so that the lamps will burn with wicks pointing downwards in the age of Kali. Now look at the lamp. The saintly personalities, the sages, could foresee that, what would happen to the age of Kali. Therefore, they got together in Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya is considered to be the hub of the universe, the center of the universe. And they decided to perform a fire sacrifice, a yajna. How long? 1,000-year-long yajna. Sahasra samamasata. They decided to perform 1,000-year-long sacrifice. And what does sacrifice do? Sacrifice actually purifies the atmosphere. And they thought that by performing this sacrifice, the whole atmosphere will become purified. And Kali's influence will be warded off for the time being. But then one morning, after performing their morning rituals and offering oblations to the sacrifice, sacrificial fire, they assembled and there they offered the place of Vasudev, Vasasan, seat of Vasudev, to Suta Goswami. Why? Because Suta Goswami, they considered, was the most exalted personality. He was the most qualified person to hear from. They offered him the exalted seat with the prayers, Taya Khalu Puranani Seti Hasani Chanagha Akhatanna Padhitani Dharma Shastrani Januta. Khalu, Taya Khalu. Khalu means very nicely. Puranani, Seti Hashani Chanana. You have very expertly mastered all the Puranas, Itihash. Itihash means history. What is the history? Mahabharata is the history. Ramayana is the history. And Puran, history, itihash, dharma shastras, Upanishads, and samhita. So you are an expert in this subject because you have understood the Vedic wisdom in its totality. And on top of everything, you are anagha. Anagha means, agha means sin. Anagha means sinless. Because you are sinless, and on top of everything, you have studied all these subjects very expertly. Therefore, tell us what to do. The condition of the age of Kali is prayanal payusha sabhya kalavashmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagga hi upadruta. The people in this age are going to have a very short span of life. They will be very lazy. Their mentality will be completely crooked. They'll be very, very unfortunate, and they'll always be distressed by the calamities of the material nature. On the other hand, bhurini bhuri karmani shrotabbani vibha. In the Vedas, vast amount of activities have been prescribed. Bhuri karmani, shrotapani vibhagas. And unless and until one understands the Vedas completely, in totality, one will not understand the purpose of the Vedas. So what's going to happen to the people of this age? And then Suta Goswami began to describe Srimad Bhagavatam as he heard from Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami appeared on the bank of the Ganges, where Parikshit Maharaj was preparing to leave his body. And then Parikshit Maharaj asked him, at that time many sages, very exalted personalities, were also present. But they all recognized that Sukadeva Goswami was an unusually exalted personality. Just by seeing him, they could recognize that he is an exceptionally exalted personality. He was only a 16-year-old boy. He was so unconcerned about his surroundings. He is so exalted and situated in his spiritual consciousness that he was totally devoid of material consciousness. He did not even feel the need to cover himself with cloth. He was totally unaware, unconcerned about the material world, unconcerned about his surrounding, being so completely absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the sages could recognize that he is a very exalted personality. And Parikshit Maharaj bowed down to him and requested him to advise him. Now many of the sages there were giving some advices to Parikshit Maharaj, but Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied with that. Why? Because all those advices were concerning the Karmakanda and Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. Karmakanda section of the Vedas prescribe about the activities that will give us enjoyment in the material nature. Ultimately, the Karmakanda section elevates one to the heavenly planet, where there is a lot of enjoyment. And Gyanakanda leads to liberation, bhukti and mukti. But Parikshit Maharaj was not concerned about that. He was naturally thinking, how is he going to help me? Even if I get elevated to the heavenly planets, I'm just going to come down again. Kshine punne marta lokan vishanti. When my piety will be exhausted, I'll come back to the earth planet again and suffer. And besides that, the heavenly planets are not out of this material universe. The material nature is full of suffering. So whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell, I'm going to suffer. And liberation, Parikshit Maharaj considered, that was the use of liberation. If I become liberated, it's like I may be peaceful being liberated. I can be free from the disturbances of the material nature. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of life is to become engaged in the service of the Lord. Beyond liberation is the positive engagement. We become liberated, but then what? We may attain liberation, but after liberation, what are we going to do? Like a prisoner may become free from the prison house, but is that the end of everything? His suffering in the prison may have been really removed, but when he comes out, what he'll have to do? He'll have to do something to maintain himself. He has to become engaged. Therefore, a devotee is not so much concerned about liberation, because he knows that liberation is just a state out of this material nature. But beyond this material nature, what's going to be our activities? We are spiritual beings, we want to be active. So what should be the activity? The activity must be engagement in the service of the Lord. And that's why Sukadev Goswami, that's why Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied. But when Sukadev Goswami came, then Parikshit Maharaj asked him these questions. All these questions of Parikshit Maharaj was pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one's situation in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Sukadev Goswami started to explain. Now all these were being explained to the sages of Naimisharanya by Srila Suta Goswami. What did Sukadev Goswami speak? Now in course of this description, he came to this point about creation. How Brahma, the first created being, saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his austerities and penances. Penance, tapaha. And the Lord, by playing his flute, gave him the Gayatri, and meditating on the Gayatri, the Vedas and the spiritual reality was revealed in the heart of Brahma. So in this way, it came now, then it came to how the Lord instructed him, on the essence of the, how Krishna instructed Brahma about the essence of the Vedas, of the Bhagavatam, in the four verses, Chatushloki. And then it has been described also that Bhagavat Puran, Mahapuran, has 10 aspects, 10 limbs, 10 angas. So everyone remembers those 10 angas? Dashame dashalakshanam, dashalakshanam, atna, okay? Who will? Let's see who else knows. Okay, Anshul, describe, say that. Very good. So these are the 10 symptoms: sarga, visarga, sthana, poshanam, utaya, manvantara, ishanukasha katha, nido dharma, mukti, nirodha, and ashraya. So, and then while describing about that, he is also describing, now here, he was describing about the sarga and visarga. Then finally, it led to what? Led to three aspects of mahakalpa, bikalpa, and kalpa. The highest consideration of time factor. And what is the highest consideration of time factor? Mahakalpa? Just a breath of the Lord. Breath of Mahavishnu. Jashaika nishashita kala mathavalamba jivanti loma bilaja jagadanda natha. Jagadanda natha, the duration of Brahma's life. Okay, Anshul. Okay, I'll ask Swami. What is the duration of Brahma's life, Swami? Brahma ka ek din kitna lamba hota hai? Brahma ka ek din? Yes, okay. 1000 chaturyuga. Is the day of Brahma. And according to that calculation, there is Brahma's night. Sahasra yuga parjantam. Sahasra yugas is the day of Brahma. And according to that calculation, you have weeks, months, years, and the duration of Brahma's life is 100 years. And this 100 years is, this is the duration of Brahma's life, but in relation to Mahavishnu, what is Brahma's lifespan?
One
breath. Jashyaika, jasya, eka nishyashitaha, kalam, athavalamba. And that is, one breath of the Lord is one mahakalpa. So, this is how inconceivable His potency is. But here we are seeing that Shaunaka Rishi and the sages of Naimisharanya, they were not so interested about all these affairs, creation and maintenance, because these all are pertaining to the material nature. Their thing was, you know, who cares about it? Okay, fine. It has appeared and it will be sustained for some time and it will disappear. Fine. Yeah. But we are not interested about that. Please tell me what happened to Vidura and Maitreya. What questions Vidura asked when he met Maitreya Rishi, and what did Maitreya Rishi say? What are the places when Vidura, where Vidura went, and what did Vidura do there? So this indicates that they are not interested about all these creation, maintenance aspect. They are not interested about Sarga and Visarga. They were interested in Ishanu Katha, and which leads to Ashraya, shelter. Getting that shelter, all the problems become solved. So in this way, he is actually leading to the higher and higher aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, he was interested only about Vidura's activities. And why? Because Vidura is a devotee. That's why they were interested about Vidura's activities. Because they knew that every single action of Vidura will be in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were asking because Suta Goswami already mentioned earlier that how Vidura left home. When the battle, when the Pandavas returned from their exile, for 12 years of exile and 1 year incognito, when they returned and they claimed their kingdom, their share of the kingdom, Duryodhan refused to give them anything. They just asked, please give us only 5 villages. But Duryodhan said, without a war, I'm not going to give you the land size of the tip of the needle. He was so confident that he is going to win the battle. But Vidura, who was the well-wisher of all, he was the well-wisher of Duryodhan also. He was the well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. He was not only the well-wisher of the Pandavas. He was the a personality like Vidura is the well-wisher of all. But the miscreants, when they are told not to do something for their own benefit, they don't want to listen to that. And when Vidura told Dhritarashtra that, look, for the sake of saving the entire dynasty, get rid of this son of yours. Vidura said that right after Duryodhan was born, when after his birth he saw all the inauspicious signs, and instead of crying, Duryodhan was braying like a donkey. So he saw an inauspicious sign. He saw that this is not an ordinary human child. A demon has been born in the family. Duryodhan, incidentally, is an incarnation of Kali. So he saw that, you know, this inauspicious signs, and he told Dhritarashtra, get rid of your son, this son of yours. If you get rid of one son, there is no harm. You have another 99 sons. So you have another 99 sons. So what's the point in, what's the harm in losing this one? Because this person is going to be the cause of the destruction of the entire dynasty. But Dhritarashtra, who was not only blind with his eyes, who was also blind spiritually, could not take this advice of Vidura. And who is Vidura? Vidura is Dharmaraj. Vidura is an incarnation of Jamraj. The personality who maintains Dharma, the personality who is the personification of Dharma. So that was Vidura. And again, before the battle of Kurukshetra, he again asked him, get rid of this boy, this son of yours. Because the whole dynasty will be destroyed. Don't think that you are going to win this battle. Because the victory is going to be on the side of the virtuous. Your son is sinful, no matter how powerful he may be, but because he is sinful, he will be destroyed. And whoever sides with him will be destroyed. Whereas the Pandavas, no matter how weak they may appear to be, because they are virtuous, Dharma will stand with them. Krishna will be with them. And therefore they will win. So he made all this forecast. But still, not only Duryodhan did not accept the advice, Duryodhan became very insulting. He started to insult him, saying that here is the person who has been eating food given by us, and he is speaking against us. Get rid of this person. He said, even a dog is more loyal than this person. I mean, this is how he was insulting him. And Vidura just left home. So when the battle of Kurukshetra took place, Vidura was not around. He was in a pilgrimage. He was going from place of pilgrimage because he didn't want to see the destruction of the family. But Vidura was happy. So that is the thing about a spiritual personality. They are totally unaffected. They are not concerned about insult and honor. They are not concerned about fame and infamy. They are not concerned about the glory and disgrace. So, people, okay, fine. And what is the attitude of a devotee? Who are you talking about? You're addressing this to the body. But I'm body and gross and subtle body. It may hurt. If it hurts, who is it hurting? It's hurting the false ego. So the more I can get rid of the false ego is better for me. Because more I can get rid of my false ego, the more I can become situated in my spiritual identity. Therefore, a devotee doesn't care about fame and infamy. People talk bad about them, insult them, so what? Hare Krishna. That is the attitude of a devotee. Hare Krishna. Krishna, thank you so much that you are smashing my false ego. I was all along, I was thinking that I was so great, I was so honorable, but now you have smashed my false ego. Now I'm realizing, after all, I'm not so great. All the people around me, those who love me, they used to say so many things in my glorification. And now, you made arrangements to see actually who I am. And who I am? I am 10,000 part of the tip of the hair. That is my size. But I was thinking that I was as big as Mount Everest. But now I realized all of a sudden that I actually am as big as 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. But my only consolation is that I am your part and parcel. And you are my Lord and Master. And my only occupation, my only goal of my life is to just serve you. And when I serve you, it's so wonderful. And it doesn't matter what people are in the world think of me. What really matters is how you are seeing me. If you are casting your glance upon me favorably, my life is perfect. I have achieved the highest perfection of my life when you cast your favorable glance upon me. So let the whole world spit at me. But if you recognize me, who cares about that spitting? And if the whole world glorifies me, but if you do not recognize me, then what's the use of that glorification? So that is the attitude of a devotee. Therefore, a devotee is dukkheshu anudvigna mana sukhecha bigatas priya. At the time of distress, he is not perturbed. And in happiness, he is not attached. He is neither attached to happiness, nor he is concerned about unhappiness or distress. He is not affected by distress or happiness in this way. He remains totally unaffected, totally aloof, totally neutral. So in this way, Suta Goswami, Shaunaka Rishi was inquiring about the activities of Vidura, because he saw what a wonderful personality Vidura is, what a great devotee Vidura is. Vidura was such a wonderful devotee that Krishna, when he was invited by Duryodhana, he didn't go to his palace. He went to Vidura's house. And Vidura, he was not very rich. So what could Vidura offer? He just offered some broken rice. And not only that, when he was offering a banana, he was so absorbed in Krishna's thoughts that he peeled the banana and gave him the banana skin and threw away the banana inside of the banana. So he didn't have any external consciousness. He was not at all concerned about what he was doing, because Krishna stole his mind. That is what happens to a devotee. Krishna steals his mind away. So much so that he forgets. He doesn't have any awareness. When one becomes a devotee, that is a problem actually. Krishna steals away his mind or her mind. In this respect, there is one anecdote. One girl got married to a boy of Vrindavan. So all the family members were very concerned that if this girl sees Krishna, then Krishna will steal her mind. So they decided that she shouldn't see Krishna. So they locked her up in one room when Krishna was going with his friends to tend the cows. And so they put her in the room, closed the windows, closed the doors, so that she cannot see Krishna. But she became curious, why they are doing that to me? So there was a little hole in that windowsill, and she looked out of the windowsill, or through that hole, and saw Krishna taking the cows to the pasturing ground. And what happened? Her mind, Krishna stole her mind. So when her relatives opened the door after Krishna passed away with the cows, so they found that the girl is standing there like a zombie. And they became worried. The inevitable has happened. Somehow, Krishna has stolen her mind. Now she is without a mind. She doesn't have her mind. She is there, but her mind is gone with Krishna. So then others, members of the family, they decided that to bring her back to her senses, give her some work. Let her do something, then only she will come back to her senses. So one gave her baby to carry, gave her her baby to carry, a little child, said that you carry this girl. Another one gave her a bucket and a rope and said, you go and fetch water from the well. So then she was pushed into doing so many things, and she went to the well. And but because her mind was stolen, when she went to the well, what did she do? She took the rope and tied it to the baby. Started to lower the baby instead of the bucket into the well. So everyone came running. And stopped her from drowning the baby in that way. So that's what happens when you fall in love with Krishna. Your mind will be stolen by him. And Krishna is also advising that, Manmana Babu, with your mind, you think of me. But be careful. When you do that, this is what's going to happen to you. Are you ready for that? Govinda, it seems that you're thinking. Are you ready for that? Okay, I thought that I'll cover the last verse also, but it's already 10 to 9, so I'll stop now. So tomorrow we'll do the last verse and close the chapter. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
What is the present age of Kali era?
This is, you see, the duration of the age of Kali is 432,000 years. And out of that, about 5,200 years have gone by. So another almost 427,000 years are left. Kali Yuga just began, but see the condition. Already. Okay, any other question? Yes.
Prabhupada, говорил, что он обеспокоен тем, что асуры могут прийти в Искон и разрушить Искон изнутри.
Prabhupada said what?
He was worried that asura can destroy Искон from inside.
И он еще говорит, что у Брамана будут рождаться демоны для того, чтобы
это. Prabhupada didn't exactly say that. What Prabhupada said is that nothing can destroy this movement from outside. It is only from inside that this movement can be destroyed. Therefore, Prabhupada told us to express his love, to show our love for him through our cooperation. Only the devotees start to fight then only this movement can be destroyed. Therefore Prabhupada said, don't fight. And about the brahmanas taking, the rakshasas taking, asuras, or rakshasas, demons taking birth, it is actually in Garuda Puran that has been described that in the age of Kali, taking advantage of the age of Kali, some brahmanas, some demons, rakshasas, will take birth in some brahmana family to destroy the Vedic culture. Okay, any other question? Yes.
Если бы не было войны на Курукшетре, мы бы не имели Бхагавад-гиты, мы бы не знали славу Арджуны, Кришна показал славу Арджуны, то это может быть план Кришны все-таки был, что война должна была быть.
If we want to have war in Kurukshetra, if Krishna really wanted to show us how great was Arjuna, then maybe it was maybe his plan to show us and to give Bhagavad Gita. Maybe it was his plan. If it wasn't possible to
stop. So what's the question? The Kurukshetra was needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really planned. It was.
Yeah. When Krishna arranges something, it must be needed.
Отказались от Дурьотханы, то Кришна все равно бы сделал эту войну.
If like they,
no,
if they won't accept, like if they left Duryodhana, yes, they won't give him any.
Okay, then there won't be any battle of Kurukshetra.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, so let us learn from that. Actually, Kurukshetra has happened. But now let us not have another Kurukshetra. Let us avoid Kurukshetra by not siding with Duryodhana. And listen to Vidura's advice. Right? And side with Krishna and Krishna's devotee, which you're already doing. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Oh, you have a question, Swami? I didn't see that.